Good afternoon. I want to thank Jay, and I also want to thank Ted for his guidelines for us, because I think we can all use that. We're a bunch of amateurs getting together trying to create our own history, but we are trying to go along those many of the terms that you've spoken of, and we have talked to some real historians to help us along our way. But let's get started. The members of the occupational health section are a diverse group of individuals who are involved in preventing work-related injuries. We're doctors, nurses, industrial hygienists, health educators, safety engineers, economists, historians. Our section was established 99 years ago in 1914 as APHA's fifth section, and we'll be commemorating our founding a century ago in celebrations in New Orleans, and our planning is underway. So we're going back to the future. What was the world like before 1914 that influenced the founding of our section? Where did our leadership come from? How did the priorities of the section change over time? And what effort is our section undertaking to commemorate 100 years? So we're going to set the Wayback Machine here and go back to the early 1900s when, to begin the progressive era, there were a lot of tragedies going on in the workplace, in the industrial sector. In 1907, 362 coal miners were killed at Monongah, West Virginia. William Hard, a muckraking journalist, published Making Steel and Killing Men and estimated that about 12% of the workforce in the steelmaking industry were being killed or seriously injured every year. In 1908, U.S. Steel had formed a safety committee to try to deal with some of these problems, but for the most part, corporate America was still operating under a pre-workers' comp liability system where the costs of making injuries was not very high. In 1906, Upton Sinclair published The Jungle, and The Jungle was a story, a fictional accounting of life in the packing houses and the meat production plants in Chicago. And while he was aiming at the issue of occupational injury and the things that were going on in the social conditions of workers, a lot of the attention that was paid to this did not go to workers' comp or to occupational safety and health, but it did go to food safety. And that was what the major events that happened out of The Jungle occurred. A little later, in 1906 and 1907, or in 1908 to 1910, Crystal Eastman was an investigator for the Russell Sage Foundation and participated as part of the Pittsburgh survey in doing a book called Work Accidents and the Law. Her death calendar in industry shows a cross for every person killed on the job in one county in one year. And there were over 500 people killed in the Allegheny County from either railroad work, steel making, or coal mining. Her book in the Pittsburgh Survey, one of several volumes of the Pittsburgh Survey, found that those who were injured on the job bore the economic brunt of most of their burden, even though many of these things were the employer's fault. The authors of the survey agreed that employers should bear a substantial share of the economic burden, and that was not the case in the United States at this point in time. She also made many suggestions for how you could prevent some of these many injuries that were going on in the workplaces that she was studying. And these suggestions are the same today as we had 100 years ago, over 100 years ago. Make provision for safety, reduce hours of work, reduce the speed of the lines of work, inspect plants, remedy known defects, have warning systems. Another thing going on at the same time was child labor. There were a lot of injuries to children that eventually could create some of the nature of the outrage against this destruction. But it was the Triangle Factory fire in 1911 that probably cemented much of the outrage about the industrial conditions of the day. And on March 25, 1911, 146 workers in New York City were killed when they had to jump or were killed in the fire that resulted in a garment production plant in New York City. There were many known hazards in this plant that had never been averted: locked stairways, rusty fire escapes, cluttered workplaces, a whole series of events of which there is a very good history. But in the wake of that, and actually about 6 weeks after the Triangle Factory fire, suddenly there was a new resurgence in the United States for looking at the problems of compensation for occupational injury and illness and for doing something about safety on the job. And the first workers' compensation law was passed in Wisconsin about 6 weeks after the Triangle Factory fire, and that was a workers' comp law that was not declared unconstitutional, as had the New York State law been declared unconstitutional the day before the Triangle Factory fire. Between 1911 and 1914, workers' comp laws were established in 24 states, and more specific to some of the issues of injury prevention, 15 states were passing laws requiring all physicians to report any cases of occupational disease to the state labor or health department. In California, one of those states, there was both a report from the employer and from the physician required whenever an occupational injury or illness took place. And these, the items that are in these reports are pretty much the same items that we're still collecting today and that most states are still collecting today. In 1913, APHA seems to notice the events of industrial hygiene being an important problem. And our section started, the Occupational Health and Safety section started as the section on industrial hygiene, eventually morphed into Occupational Safety and Health. But in 1913, the medical inspector of factories for New York State spoke at the annual conference and gave a paper on industrial hygiene as a neglected field of public health work. While the Bible students were not right, the world did not end in 1914. There are other things that did happen. The Ford Motor Company started paying wages to their workers that were more of a living wage at the time. And they were, for the first time, they announced that they were going to share some of their profits and pay workers $5 a day. Also happening in 1914 was the beginning of a lot of workers' compensation implementation. What is now the International Association of Industrial Accidents Boards and Commissions came together as the workers' compensation leaders of the states started to work. And in many of these workers' compensation agencies, they were both devoted to compensation as well as safety. There were also papers being presented in that year on industrial medicine. I think that the American Academy of Medicine was a precursor of the AMA, and this was a paper presented at their annual meeting in 1914. In 1914 in California, the Industrial Accident Commission, which had been formed as part of the workers' compensation law, lamented being able to answer a question about which industry had the highest rates of injury because they didn't know what the denominator was. They didn't know how many people were working in industry, and so that led to many of the establishments of statistical agencies that had to help provide that information. But then coming back to 1914 at APHA, there was a special symposium on industrial hygiene in December of 1914 in which George Kober, the dean of Georgetown's medical school, spoke on the history and development of industrial hygiene in the U.S., Emory Hayhurst of the Ohio Board of Health spoke on the prevalence of occupational factors in disease. Dr. John Andrews, who was an early advocate of social insurance, spoke on health insurance as social insurance. And the fourth speaker at this APHA special session was Graham Rogers of New York's Department of Labor, speaking on industrial hygiene as the basis of industrial efficiency. After that symposium, APHA's executive board encouraged a petition to create a new section, which would become the fifth section of APHA. And that new section met for the first time in 1915, in September 1915, with these members, of which many of the names became very important names in APHA along the way: Alice Hamilton, George Kober, Frederick Hoffmans, C.E.A. Winslow, and Emory Hayhurst. Kober and Alice Hamilton were the first chair and co-chair of the IH committee. Alice Hamilton, which there is probably much more known than any of the others, had become interested in occupational disease and occupational injury when she was working and living side by side with residents of Hull House in Chicago, and started studying industrial medicine and the illnesses caused by jobs. She began studying the literature from abroad, noticing that industrial medicine was not a big topic in the United States, and she set out to change this. She was appointed to the newly formed Occupational Disease Commission of Illinois, which was the first investigative body of its type. And then for the next many years, she was both a figure in APHA as the chair and vice chair of the section, and also went on to become the first woman professor at Harvard, among many other honors. Frederick Hoffman, one of the other additional founding members, was a statistician for the Prudential Insurance Company. He had noted about occupational injury and illness earlier on in 1890 in a letter to his wife, and speaking about actual letters that can be found in files, in a letter to his wife, Hoffman expressed his conviction that statistical reports might be a persuasive means of bringing social injustice to light. And as a statistician for Prudential, he investigated, studied, and recorded details about safety and health conditions of industry workers, especially miners. He believed that large quantities of exact statistical data needed to be gathered to be able to show good results, reliable results, and tried to take the guesswork out of what the insurance industry was at the time in terms of trying to establish rates for premiums and setting classifications. Winslow, who became is one of the other awards that I think APHA continues to give out, the Winslow Award, wrote a tract on industrial hygiene, trying to see that there was a reason to try to look at what was going on in the workplaces in America and trying to take on that issue and do something about it. Hayhurst was working for the State Board of Health in Ohio, and he did a survey of industrial health hazards and occupational disease in Ohio, one of the first studies of that sort looking across the state. This is a long quote from Winslow, but I think it's basically saying if you want to promote good health, you have to look at the problems of people who are working. And that APHA was actually a good place to do that because it brought together many different types of professions and types of learned people in one group and might be able to push forward as a group. Now I'm going to switch to what we've been doing in the section. And the first place we went when we started looking at our history was to the APHA archives. We heard that there was an archives, a small archives in Washington, and started just trying by a short trip, tried to find what was maybe available to explain what had happened over our 100-year history. And what I found there was quite a bit. In a very small space, there's really a lot of very interesting information that I think all sections can draw on. You find complete records of the American Journal of Public Health and the public health reports. There are often membership listings for each of the sections. You have section newsletters, which describe issues, the officers, descriptions of meetings that were held, the annual reports of meeting of the sections, annual membership meetings, and the awards that some of the sections were giving out at the time. So what I wanted to do during this session was show some results that we had found from one decade of the archives, looking through the archives. So from the 1950s and 60s, we were able to track a few things that had happened in this section. One of them was just looking at, well, what were the subcommittees of this industrial hygiene section and how did those change over time? So in 1951, they were very technically oriented committees: atmospheric comfort, chemical procedures, industrial ventilation, pneumoconiosis, volatile solvents, and also national defense, which is sort of in the early period of the Cold War. There was a committee of industrial hygiene and safety devoted to national defense. But by 1952, the section was sort of having a crisis of confidence in itself. Discussions at San Francisco had the leadership of the section feeling some concern over waning interest in the section. Quote, "There seems to be a feeling that the growth of the industrial hygiene profession to adult stature with the concurrent strengthening of organizations devoted to it, like the American Industrial Hygiene Association and the American Council of Government Industrial Hygienists, has lessened the value of and need for an APHA section devoted to industrial hygiene." It was sort of wondering, what were we to do if these other groups were already doing the work? Next year, they did a membership of a survey of their membership that was also documented in the archives. So this membership survey showed that physicians, MDs, outnumbered non-MDs in the section, that more MDs had joined the section after 1950, where between 1940 and 1950, mostly were non-MDs, showed who they were employed by and what interest they had in different committees of the section. By 1957, there was a little bit more of an upbeat feeling in the annual meetings and the annual reports. The session attendance at individual sessions at the Atlantic City annual meeting of APHA had grown considerably. There were 200 people who came to a session on industrial and community services. There was 200 people on approaches to accident prevention, 265 on medical care for industrial workers, 120 on detection and control of radiological hazards. And the section felt like it looks like we're succeeding in promoting occupational health as an integral part of modern health programs. So the section did its own report on its program coordination and came to a conclusion that APHA section on occupational health, which it was becoming in that year, between 1953 and 1957, somewhere along that line it changed from industrial hygiene to occupational health and safety. But the quote was, "They believe that the APHA section on occupational health should provide the logical, neutral, common meeting ground for representatives of management, labor, health professions, and the public to discuss the health problems of the workers. It was seen as a place where all these different groups could come together, not in their own specialized groups, but as a different kind of force." But then by 1962, it was waning again. "The decline in vigor of the section over the past years suggests that technical matters are no longer sufficient to hold the interest of the section membership. We're convinced that the emphasis must be changed from the technical to the organizational and promotional." In 1964, the committees had changed pretty dramatically from the more technical to things like membership, nominations, regulation and legislation, research policy, and there was some continuing interest in looking at rehabilitation and workers' compensation. So that's our little view, you know, from just looking at one decade in the archives. And now we're back to what are we doing now to commemorate our 100 years. Why study the past? We want to review our core principles. We want to see what we were at in the beginning. We want to understand the factors leading to the policy shifts, because we're trying to bring in a lot of younger people into our section, and we'd like them to understand what the history is of why this section was formed 100 years ago. We want to evaluate the progress and challenges that we have today and to understand how the conditions of present day contrasted with those program origins. We know that, you know, the famous quote by Santayana, "Those who can't remember the past are doomed to repeat it." We have that good lessons of that today internationally between the same view of the Triangle factory and the Bangladesh factory fire last year. It's sort of chilling to see those pictures side by side, I believe. Our 100th anniversary committee of our section, we currently have, well, as of today, I think we've probably got 60 or 65 members from many jurisdictions. We're holding a monthly phone meeting. We have an active listserv. We have a library for storage of documents, film clips, photographs, information. Our committee, including Jay, include three past presidents of the APHA, We have one of the editors of an occupational health and safety journal. We have archivists, program directors in occupational safety and health, many government workers and union and some management people who are working on this. And what we're using now to try to put all of our information together is the current APHA Connect site that's available to all the sections. And so within our occupational safety and health section, we have a very vibrant subsection on the 100th anniversary. And these are the different areas that we're trying to build resources in, from films and photographs and other types of documents to an area which we're calling personal journeys, where we're trying to get people to write in and put in any sort of information about how they got involved in the either in the issue or in the section of occupational safety and health. And we're trying to post documents that we're getting from the archives and from other places of the section history. And we also use this as the place to sort of keep people updated on what we're doing on our planning. One of the things we've done for next year, or what we're planning for next year, is developing a 100th anniversary poster. And this is the mock-up that we've had done for that by one of the members of our committee, who's a graphics designer. And we're not sure exactly what images we'll use in those nine sections. We're still determining what those might be, but this is the basic view that our poster will have. I noticed today, if you go to the booth of the Union of Concerned Scientists, they're giving out their calendar for next year. And if you look in November, the date that APHA starts in 2014, on the 16th of November, it's listed as the 100th anniversary of the American Public Health Association Occupational Health and Safety Section. So we're trying to call attention to the section through many different means. And that's why we're all wearing these buttons this week that we all have. They're available at the Occupational Safety and Health booth for a small donation. So that's what we're doing.
Thank you. Okay.